like the song that we just finished singing, right? In times like these, I have a Savior. And that's where we ought to be looking. And may I say that we are in a political season. Of course, nowadays, that's every 4 years for 4 years, isn't it, that we're in a political season? It really is that way anymore. But listen, we're coming up in just a couple of months to a major election, and I would encourage you, vote. And even before that, I think it's in August, right, is the next election that you need to be paying attention to, and I would encourage you, vote, all right, and be informed and all of that. But let me caution you as well and say, if there is one particular candidate or another that you would think, boy, that person right there is going to help immensely, which is nowadays is setting the bar pretty low. It doesn't have to be very high to say somebody would help immensely, right? But listen, if you're looking at a certain candidate and saying, wow, I mean, that's the answer. And if we could just get that individual in or whatever it might be, that's the answer. It could be that God's message to you and me, if that's our heart this evening, would be woe to the people that seek counsel but not of me. Woe to the people that are concerned about political issues, but they don't come to me for the answers. And so let's look at what the Word of God says here, and I think we can take a great piece away from it. Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. Let's pray, and we'll get into the message here this evening. Father, thank you for giving us your word and for reminding us that we are to look to you and not to the world for our help. And Lord, help me and help all of us to obey the command and the things that are taught to us here in this chapter. Use your word for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Yet again, the chapter begins with a woe. And here's why there was a woe pronounced upon them, because they are staying on the people of and the things of Egypt. And when it says there, where it says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses, the idea of staying on horses or staying on something is leaning on it for support. You might picture somebody who is in need of a cane or maybe some crutches or something like that, but that's really where they're putting their weight. They might be standing, but their weight and their trust is in that cane or in those crutches. And that's what is the idea here when the city of Jerusalem and the people thereof are said to be staying on Egypt, and God says, woe to them. Why are they staying on Egypt? Well, they trust in Egypt. Egypt in the Bible, by the way, is a picture almost always of the world and the world system. And they're trusting in Egypt because when they are in trouble, by the way, because there was a nation coming against them, they could see the writing on the wall that Assyria sooner or later was coming for them because it had already come for the nations around them, and even some of the cities of Judah that were the outward cities kind of away from Jerusalem had already been taken, and they knew eventually Assyria is going to come for us. So they looked at Egypt for their help rather than seeking God. And God said to them, woe. But here's why they were trusting in Egypt. First of all, because those in Egypt and the chariots of Egypt are many. That's what it says in verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many. They were trusting in them because there were many of them. And boy, isn't that human nature when we are in trouble to look for something or someone who has the ability to help us? We ought to be looking to the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. I hope and trust that you are regularly in your Bible reading in the Psalms. The Psalms are there for a reason. Of course, all the Word of God is important. We know that, but the Psalms just have a special role in our lives of reminding us that we need to trust in the Lord, reminding us that He is our stay. Psalm 20, where it says, verse number 1, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." You notice the reference to prayer there, verse 6. "Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call." There's a great psalm written by David, by the way, who understood and learned what it was to trust in the Lord. And though there were many who encamped around about him, yet he would not fear because God was with him. And that it was a great example to the people of Jerusalem, yet they were not following that. They were looking to Egypt because there were many horses and many chariots, many military men there that they thought would save them. But there was a second reason why, not only because they were many, but because they were strong. That's what it says in Isaiah 31, because they are very strong. They looked at those Egyptians and said, wow, they have all of those chariots and all of those military men, and boy, they're good at what they do, and they're strong, and they're able and capable at what they're doing. And friends, that's sometimes the thing that you and I fall prey to as well. We look at certain individuals or certain situations, and we are in trouble, and we look at our nation or maybe our individual life, and we say, boy, we need something. And then somebody shows up on the scene and they look like they've got it all together, and that's the one. He or she or they are really going to be able to help us because look at how strong and capable they are. And that's what the people of Jerusalem were doing, and God said, woe to them. I want to remind you of a verse found in the book of Zechariah. Can you turn over to Zechariah with me? You remember where Zechariah is? Almost to the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Several years back, we went through the book of Zechariah. Zechariah 4, verses 6 and 7. "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it." And here in a situation many years later, when the temple at Jerusalem was just wasted and destroyed, and of course there was a remnant that returned, and they rebuilt the temple, and the walls eventually were set up, and it looked as if God would never really bless them again. Yet there was a man there named Zerubbabel whom God had decided that he would bless. And God says through the prophet to this man, he says, listen, I want you to understand that there is coming a time where people are going to recognize that I've blessed you, but here's how it's going to happen. It's not going to be by might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by my spirit. And it's a great lesson for you and me. If you and I are going to be helped, it's going to be the same way. In whatever situation we're facing, in whatever difficulty we have, if it's financial, if it's medical, if it's spiritual, if it's, you know, numerical, whatever it might be, the answer is not might or power. The answer is the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to encourage you with that and challenge you with that. All of us need to be reminded of that. To the point where, turn over to the book of Isaiah with me, if you would. I'm sorry, Jeremiah, right next to Isaiah. That's what I was wanting to say. Jeremiah, chapter 17. You say, well, it may not be that big of a deal if I'm not trusting in the Lord as I ought, if I'm looking to, politics or maybe some source of income or strength maybe that is away from the Lord. I'm seeking that for my help and trusting in that. God's not really that upset about it, is he? Well, look at what Jeremiah says in 17 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I've told you this story before, but let me remind you of this illustration again. I remember one time when we lived in Arizona, and we were down in Nogales. And Nogales is an area about 4,000 feet elevation, a little bit higher than that. So though it's Arizona and it's hot, at night it cools off and the heat really isn't so bad. But there's this really well-known city that a lot of people live in. I don't know why they live there. It's called Phoenix. Phoenix is not a high elevation. It's in a valley. And there's tons of people there. And I don't know why. People are crazy. But I went to Phoenix to visit Gary Schwer, my good friend, and the one that we support as a missionary. And it was springtime, and Arizona in the spring is incredible. It lasts for about 2 days, like summer does here. But it is beautiful during that time. There's some rain, whatever snow there was in the mountains melts and comes down to the valley. And I was driving over to his place, and it was one of those mornings, and sunny all the time in Arizona, and that's wonderful and all that. But driving there, and it was green, and the desert was just a bloom. And when the desert is blooming, it's beautiful. And it was a morning like that. We were meeting at a McDonald's, and we're going to head down into Mexico to do some preaching in the prisons down there. And we got there to the McDonald's, and I said, "Wow, Gary, what a just a beautiful drive." And he said, "Yeah, this is the time of year when all the snowbirds come down to or when all the older people come down to Arizona and they recognize how beautiful it is and they say, man, we got to move to Arizona. And they go back to Wisconsin and they pack up their stuff and come back in about August." And I said, "I know exactly what you're talking about." Because by the way, again, in let's just say February, boy, the desert is green. All the plants are green and there's flowers on them and it looks great, doesn't it? But then there comes a time where after a little while, it dries up, and by August, everything's brown and dead. Why is that? What happened? It was so green. Well, listen, no rain. But as I've talked to you about before in Arizona, you can always tell where there's water, where there's a stream, because you can stand up on a mountaintop or any kind of elevated surface and look out over a valley, and you can tell exactly where the stream is, though it's a small stream, because there will be a line of trees that follow along that are planted right next to that stream. And those are often cottonwoods, which we have here. There's a bunch of them across the road here. And those cottonwoods, because the growing season is all year long there, they get huge. And in the middle of the desert, there's these green trees. But it's because there's water. The Bible says the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm is like the heath in the desert. That would be like a small plant. That boy, for a time, it looks like it's doing well. And you could compare it to the cottonwood tree, and they're both green and looking strong and looking great. And man, see, it pays to trust in man. But give it a little bit of time. And here's what happens. Man always, in his help and the little bit of help he can give, always dries up. And the person who made flesh his arm and was not trusting in the Lord but trusting in man dries up and withers away like the heath in the desert. But the one who trusts in the Lord is like that tree that's planted by rivers of water and his roots go down deep. And maybe it's not as spectacular and maybe there's not a bunch of flowering that goes on during the springtime, but boy, there's a deep and steady growth. And before long, again, that cottonwood tree is just, 100 feet tall. Amazing what happens when we trust the Lord. And I want to encourage all of us, that's what we should be doing. But go back with me, if you would, in chapter 31. We'll be done here in just a few moments. "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." And then notice verse 2. "Yet he also is wise and will bring evil." You see, God is not dumb. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous thing to even say, but let me say it again. God is not dumb, yet he also is wise. God knows what he's doing. You're looking to the Egyptians, you're trusting in them. Listen, God also is wise. In this political season that we're in, we think of candidate so-and-so, and they're the person that's going to rescue the United States, and and all of that. They're the ones who can really help. And boy, if we get just get them elected, all would be good. But may I remind you, yet God also is wise. Not that we shouldn't vote and get involved, but may I remind us to keep our trust in the Lord. And when the election is done, whatever the case may be, and whoever ends up winning or winning the election. Was that out loud? I'm sorry about that. And I'm teasing, by the way, all right? All you conspiracy theory nuts, that wasn't serious, okay? But listen, whoever ends up winning the next day, yet God also is wise. God's still on the throne. He still remains the same. The world doesn't fall apart because of this. God's message and God's plan and God's working in this world, it's not over. We've still got a mandate and a job to do. We've been given 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent, and we're expected to invest those and work for the Lord, because someday we're going to give an account to our master. Just trust in the Lord and rest in Him. He also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back His words. In other words, God is going to deal with the Assyrians. Verse 3, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. In other words, why are you trusting in them? They're just like you. When the Lord shall stretch out His hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall all fail together. God will take care of all of them. Verse 4, like for thus that hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against them, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. God says, here, I'm going to liken myself to 2 things. The first one is a lion. What is a lion like? Well, when he roars against the prey, it doesn't matter how many shepherds you bring, he's not backing down. And God says, that's who I am. You're trusting in the Egyptians, but wait a minute, you've forgotten about me, God is saying. And God is strong, and he will defend his people. And then he likens himself to another animal, verse 5, as birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it, and passing over, he will preserve it. Listen, God's not only going to be like a lion, he's going to be fearless, he's going to be like birds flying, which is relentless. Have you ever watched birds of prey or birds that are on the attack? I don't know about you, but I love watching little birds get after big birds who are, you know, in their territory. You ever seen it where there's a vulture maybe or a crow or even perhaps an eagle or a hawk that's flying near the nest of, I don't know, some other bird, whatever it might be, a robin or whatever, and the littler bird is just kind of going after the one and keeps swooping by and all of that. God likens himself to a bird or birds flying. In other words, the attack is going to be relentless and it's going to come seemingly from nowhere. God is telling his people, listen, you're trusting in the wrong ones. I know how to take care of you. In fact, I will take care of you is what God says. Verse number 6, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day, the day when God stands up to help them, every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. There's going to come a day when you're going to recognize the stupidity of those that you've been worshiping. You're going to cast all those idols away and you're going to say, what were we thinking? So why not cast them away now and trust in the Lord? And then verse 8, for then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword, not of a mighty man, and the sword not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young men shall be discomfited. And he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and his furnace in Jerusalem. In other words, God is the one who will defeat Assyria. So trust in him. And friends, I would encourage us that for us today, there are many applications. But all of the applications that we have of this passage of Scripture are all applications of the fact that we should not be trusting in man, nor the help of man. We should be trusting in the Lord. And it's not wrong if God gives you a solution to your problem through others. But it is wrong when you and I seek to those people or individuals first. And I think what we ought to do is learn as God's people how to pray. Shouldn't that be what we do whenever we have any problem? Shouldn't that be immediately where we go to? Rather than going to the bank and seeing if we can get out a loan, or going to the political pundit to see who's the best one to vote for, or you know, going to the medical doctors to see how to get our problems fixed medically. Again, none of those things in and of themselves are wrong, but shouldn't those be secondary and put aside? And the very first one we go to is God? But the problem is, if we're honest, we're not really people of prayer. We're Americans. We got a can-do attitude, and we know how to solve our problems. And I think many times God would say to American Christians, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray, and then we'll partake of the Lord's table. Father, thank you for the time that we've had. Thank you for the reminder from your word in Isaiah 31 that we are to seek you for our help. Lord, I have to admit, I usually seek you after the fact. And Lord, though you are teaching me these things, yet, Lord, I've got a long way to go, and I pray that you would help me. Remind me often of this passage of Scripture and the promises there and the woe that's given as well. And do the same for these, your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.